Shalom. This is the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. Today we will be revisiting Sister Billy's classic series on the Book of Daniel. So get your Bible and your notebook as we study the living Word of God.
And in studying the message that God gave you through Brother Justice Duplessis, I believe that you are a chosen group. We are now at Eagle Mountain Church, associated with Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And it is today, October 13, 1996. We are going to be referring to a message that was given to this church August 29, 1996. For the sake of the tapes, we're going to do some reviewing. We're going to set some scenes because we are in this special place on August 29th, 1996, Justice Duplessis came from South Africa with a message that had been given him by the Lord. We shall go over that. The pastors will help me in just a moment in more detail. His report to us was that the night before he came to speak to you, he had a visitation of the Lord in which he heard the audible voice of the Lord give him instruction for you, and I believe for the church in the earth, regarding the book of Daniel, and regarding a methodical study of it in these last days. Justice Duplessis is known to me primarily when the Copelands got the Lake book out, the John G. Lake book. Brother Duplessis came here to honor, I believe it was particularly Gloria, and an association began between Eagle Mountain Church and Justice Duplessis and this ministry. And I'm familiar with the interview that Pastor George Pearson did with him, so marvelous as he reported on those early days and translations and things that happened. I'm more acquainted with Justice Duplessis' brother, who is more well-known, David Duplessis. I came to know David Duplessis personally in about 1985. After we'd had a series of prayer meetings, I was invited to the Washington, D.C. area for a national conference on prayer. Several people across the United States were invited, and Justice Duplessis was one of the speakers. After his session on the first morning, I noticed what the next session was, and I decided to skip it. And I went down to the cafeteria to have a cup of coffee, and I found there Brother David Duplessis and about five or six other people who were skipping the next session. I'm telling you, I was led in my spirit to go down there. It wasn't just that I was being rebellious. And every day then, for the 3 days of the conference, we left after the Duplessis session, went downstairs to the cafeteria, and he taught about five or six of us for the rest of the morning and shared with us his life and led me into some very interesting events in my own life, some assignments he gave me to do, which had even to do with going to parts of Europe. And very interesting. I'm not going to share all that with you. But he gave us his testimony. He is known as Mr. Pentecost. He was the son of a minister in South Africa early in this century, and to his father's church and to those groups of churches there in South Africa, Smith Wigglesworth came. One morning, he told to us, he was in his office very, very early in the morning, and Brother Smith Wigglesworth came into the office that morning, walked straight toward him, did not say one word to him, took him by the shoulders and pinned him to the wall and gave him a prophecy. He prophesied that there was going to come a move of the Spirit in the earth and that denominational people were going to come into the experience of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. That will be followed, he prophesied, by a word movement, a teaching movement, a very strong emphasis upon the Word of God. Then, Wigglesworth prophesied, that will be followed by the Spirit and the Word together, and that will immediately precede the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, glory. He said to Wigglesworth, I will not live to see this move of the Spirit in which the denominational people come in, but you will, and you will be a primary force in it. Wigglesworth died in 1947. The charismatic move, as we've come to call it, when the denominational people began to come in, was in the late 60s and in the early 70s. And he prophesied to Brother Duplessis, Brother David Duplessis, you're going to have a part of it, and this is even going to reach into the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church, people from the Catholic Church, are going to be coming into the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Well, in those days, in Pentecostal churches, that was almost heresy, that God would in any way do anything for Catholics, you know, unless they became over to the Pentecostal Church. And so Brother Duplessis said that involved a lot for me of dedication. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. But he said later on in the morning, I met Brother Wigglesworth, and Brother Wigglesworth said, good morning, David, how are you today? And just acted like he had never seen him before in the day. And Wigglesworth and Brother Duplessis said, Wigglesworth, you came to my office this morning. You pinned me to the wall. He said, that was the prophet of the Lord on the way with the word of the Lord, greeting no man in the way. This is Wigglesworth. How are you today, David? Brother David Duplessis told to us that he began to seek the Lord in prayer concerning this unheard of thing that he had just heard. And he said it required a great searching of my soul and a laying of all on the altar. He said the last thing that I had to lay on the altar and the biggest thing was my own ministry. Because I knew my peers in that day would not approve of any kind of a ministry toward Catholics, even though I did not know what it was. And so he said, I remember when I indeed on that day took my ministry, laid it on the altar, and gave it to the Lord. And it did so happen in David's ministry that his Pentecostal denomination took away his papers for the things he was doing. They later reinstated them to him, but there was a time when he had to have all on the altar. He told to us that his life and ministry had involved meeting three popes. And he thought the apex of it was when he met, I believe it was Pope John. And he was in the office of the Pope one day, and the Pope said to David, he said, David, if the church in America that you represent could have audience with me and ask one request, what would it be? He said, I have no idea, Pope John. The Pope said, David, if you had one request of me, and I would grant it, what would it be? And he said that you, sir, would allow the Catholics to read their Bibles. It had been so all through the Middle Ages and the Dark Ages that the Catholics were not allowed to read their Bibles. It could only be interpreted to them by a priest. But the very next week, Pope John made an edict throughout all the earth that Catholics were at last allowed to read their Bibles. And through this ministry of one man, millions of people upon the earth opened their Bibles, the Word of God, and began to read them. That's a marvelous, if that's the only thing that ever came out of it. But other things did come out of it. And many, many people in the World Council of Churches and what we might even consider dead churches and in Catholicism received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God gave Brother David Duplessis the particular key way to lead Catholics was to tell them to follow Mary, that she followed Jesus into the upper room, and there she received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so it happened. Now, this is the brother of Mr. Pentecost, Justice Duplessis, who came here, and I'd like to ask the pastors to come and set the scene for you as he came that morning. This is Pastor George and Terry Pearson from Eagle Mountain Church. Terry is the daughter of Brother Kenneth Copeland.
That Thursday morning, we were preparing for prayer school. I had asked Brother Duplessis to speak. He'd spoke the week before, and I really hadn't intended to ask him again, but it seemed like that's what the Lord wanted. So we were waiting for him to arrive, and time had come for prayer school to start, and he wasn't here. We were a little eager for him to be here. So when he came to the door, he opened the door, and he was just as white as a sheet. He was shaking and quivering, and his first words were, I didn't think it possible. I didn't think it possible. I didn't think it possible. Well, I thought something had happened. He was so shaken. Well, I brought him in. George took him, and I walked outside to find his driver. I said, Ken, what happened? I thought perhaps it had an accident or something. And Ken, his driver, began to cry. He was already crying, actually, in tears. And he said, oh, Pastor, Jesus spoke audibly to Brother Duplessis all night long about our church. Well, of course, that gripped my heart. I began to cry immediately. I walked back in, and Brother Duplessis was still shaking his head, saying, I just didn't think that it was possible. And he took me by the hands, and he pulled me up close. He said, dear sister, if I ever needed you, I need you now. Please pray for me.
When he came out, there was a glory around him. There was a presence around the man. And he had obviously been with Jesus. He said, this has never happened quite like this before. The presence of God in his room kept him up all night. He heard the audible voice of Jesus. And I want to go through very quickly and read this.
Please.
So that we can have this for the folks here to listen to and as well on tape. And this is the word that he came and delivered to us that day. This is August 29th, 1996. First thing he said to me, you're going to speak to the church this morning. You're speaking to the ministries on prayer. I want you to be my mouthpiece. Speak to them slowly, gently, with divine urgency, because they have a dream and they have a vision which must be realized because I've given that to them. They are my people. They are a people of destiny. And so be warned that nothing should be said that I have not said to you. Say it with compassion. Assure them that I know of the love that is amongst them. But that should increase tenfold in view of what is going to happen shortly. Speak to Kenneth Copeland Ministries in the International Church. Tell them that I regard them as a people of destiny as much as I regarded those four young people, part of the banished nation, far away from Jerusalem, waiting for the day when Jerusalem would once again be the home and the center of my people. You intended to speak on Daniel and certain excerpts from that. It is good because that is within the guidance of my spirit and within the center of my will. But forget your notes. You're not sermonizing. Regard it as a prophetic spirit that has come to you through me.
Thank you for listening to today's radio message. The classic study series by Dr. Billy Brim entitled Daniel is now available in an 11 CD series for a special radio offer of $55 plus shipping. You can order in three ways: on the internet website at www.billybrim.org or by calling our book and tape department at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Or you can write to us at Billy Brim Ministries, P.O. Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. For meeting and ministry information, please call our ministry offices at 417-336-4877. From all of us at Billy Brim Ministries, Shalom!